Hello and welcome to the next podcast in the Teams podcast series from Executive Coaching Associates. This time we're looking at individual and team values. I'm Al Ritchie from Lateral Coaching.
And I'm Ian Farrington from ProDev UK Limited.
First thing that occurs to me when we talk about individual and team values is that these probably aren't the same. And maybe we should start exploring that idea to get a position and what we really mean by values.
So I think it is one of the constant challenges in conversations like these is the way that language can get in the way. I think we're all used to hearing and seeing commentary on values, and then you can barely sort of sign onto a website these days without some reference to values and corporate spirit. That doesn't necessarily mean that we all understand what we're talking about. And I think one of the first things is to get this idea that when we're talking about values, we're really talking at heart about those principles and ideas that we hold that then shape our actions and behaviours, both in an individual and a team context. Importantly, next step beyond that is recognising there's what we might call a value stack.
Okay, I think you better explain that one.
Yeah, so we start off with the individual, our own sense of values and those things that we hold dear. We then step out towards the team, where individual members of the team will have values, but the team may have its own set of values too. And actually, I would argue teams often do have sets of values, just not always consciously. We might loop back to that. We can take the stack up another level further, which is into the organisation. We've talked before about cultural differences between teams and different parts of organisations. Well, values go hand in hand with that. And then, of course, you can take that up a further level towards cultural values. So there's things that tend to make Europeans look and feel different in business from Latin Americans or from people in Asia.
Okay, so we've got at least a four-level stack that we're talking about here. The other thing that comes to my mind, and you actually mentioned this briefly, is that you can't look at a corporate website without seeing something about values. And those values are not actually necessarily the corporate values of that organization, but the things they think they ought to put there.
There's some lovely examples out there of what you might call difference between theory espoused and theory in practice.
Right.
And there's a wonderful book by Lady Brené Brown called Living Your Values, which is a lovely, simple phrase. And we're all encouraged to do that at the individual level. We actually don't do that anywhere near as much as we think we do, certainly nowhere near as much as we want to do. But that becomes a really interesting conversation when you start looking at the values espoused by a lot of organizations and how their behaviors are actually shaped in practice in their day-to-day.
Yeah, sorry, I'm nodding here. Furiously, it doesn't work too well over an audio-only recording. So, yeah, okay, we start with ourselves and our own personal values. Now, I know we've done some conversations around personal values ourselves and what we do in terms of coaching around values. And we both, in slightly different ways, make the point that at the end of the day, we only probably have two or three really deep-rooted values. And we often hear people talking about half a dozen, 10, 20 values. So there's that point that comes into it as well.
Well, I think if we start with the individual, but the same ideas will expand up through the stack. There's quite a bit of theory and thinking out there around values, and it's worth just picking up on a couple of elements of it. One quite well-established distinction now is the difference between terminal and instrumental values. Mm-hmm. So terminal values, what are you trying to get to? Instrumental values, how are you trying to get there?
Yeah, familiar with the concept.
Yeah, and there's some interesting stuff around actually wherever your preference lies may say something about your attitude towards action and innovation. I think still up for debate, but worth exploring. You've then got alongside that an idea that values can be personal or they can be social. I think that's a really interesting distinction because just with those four terms, you start to realize that this conversation about values is a bit about me, but it's about me with other people and in other contexts. And as we all know, we influence and are influenced by our contexts. So as a result, suddenly if I'm trying to say, what are my values? Actually, what's flowing around me is the stuff that is in and from me, but also the stuff that is in from others and with different agendas and different purposes. And as you and I know, you know, it's very common in the coaching environment to have conversations with individuals. When we get onto that values question, it can take some time to peel away the years of family influence, peer influence, professional influence, organizational influence, to get to what really an individual holds dear and therefore acts on.
Absolutely agree with that one. You remember that exercise we did where we had to end up with just a couple of values.
Yes.
And you remember that I got, shall we say, just a tad frustrated by the whole process, because it was, I found it extremely hard to come down to just those two values. Now, I've used that approach with clients where it's been appropriate to do so. And I've witnessed exactly that. You said it takes a bit of time. It takes a lot of time and a fair amount of effort on the part of the individual to actually get down to those core values that really, really, really matter to them.
It can do. And people will sometimes worry, oh, if it's going to take time, do I want to do it? Actually, it's so liberating for people when they do make that connection.
Oh, yeah.
And often quite emotional for clients when they make that connection too, because in effect, if we lose touch with our values, we are losing touch with ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that conversation at the individual level is often a voyage of rediscovery, which can be very powerful in its own right.
Okay, that's the personal one. Now we've got the, shall we call it, the interpersonal one with other within the team?
Well, so now that we've established that actually values are very simple and easy at the individual level, and then we're going to put people together. Again, you're shaking your head. You know I'm being sarcastic, but that's kind of the point. Values, again, simple word. Looking at it in the real world at individual levels, rather more complex. Looking at it in the team context, you've got, for any team of N people, at least N plus one sets of values in play. Because if we are a team of six people, we've got six sets of values coming into that team space. You then have the question of, oh, that's fine, but if this is a team, if this is genuinely a group of people behaving in concert like starlings rather than six people sat in the same space, you're going to see emerge some sense of values owned and espoused by the team.
Indeed you will.
Now, I made this point earlier that we're not always conscious of that, because not everybody says, actually, what's the team here for? What do we value as a team? How does that align to our organization? Quite often, because we're under pressure to get things done in the team, the conversation is much more about what do we have to do, by when, how, gulp, let's get on and do it.
Yeah.
As a result, behaviors and what are acceptable and effective actions and behaviors within the team tend to emerge. Now, that may happen to be some happy compromise of that set of individual values. It may actually be a default safe space, in that it ends up being a set of values that don't really relate to any of the individual team members.
But they also don't offend any of the team members.
Exactly. But then if they're neither offended nor united and enthused and focused, well, we know that what happens to teams without focus?
Lack of drive.
So there is something around recognizing that individuals don't just bring their actions and behaviors and their skills and their competences. They bring a mindset and a value judgment, which, use that phrase properly for a change, on the work and on the team they are joining. And we can either harness that for the team, or we can let it become an interesting exploratory space for everyone to head butt heads over the next 2-3 months, or however long it takes for all those issues to surface.
So would you recommend that when a team is newly formed, that the members of the team actually discuss personal values? Do you think it's something that should be surfaced in a very an obvious way?
I think so. I think it's much more productive. It helps with that forming of the group. It also helps understand what the team is about for the individuals, but also within the context of the organisation.
Mm.
So looping back slightly to where we started, back to the stack, at the organisational level, we see organisations embracing all kinds of values, often 6, 8, 10, 12, it's the worst one I think I've seen. And espousing them is great, but what does that look like in practice? And we've had a debate in several forums over the last few months over the use of the word integrity as a value.
Yes, we have.
And what that signals when you see it on a website. And I think, sadly, there is some jaundice about that, and I kind of understand why. But I think for me, one of the abiding issues in leadership, so I'm talking about leaders, but leadership within an organization or community, is the consonance between what's said and what's done.
Or the lack of it.
And where there's a lack of it, what that breeds is doubt, resistance, distance.
Possibly even dismay.
Yeah. So not only is, for me, is there a value in the team, explicitly thinking about who we are, what do we value, but actually understanding that in the context of what they're there to do and in the context of the organization they're working within.
Okay, we seem to have jumped just a weeny bit there, because we were talking about individual values. Then we were talking about the values of the other team members and how they relate to our own values and being upfront and obvious about them. Then we got onto the relationship between that and the organizational value, but we missed the team values. Now, either the team values come out of the individual values and some relationship with the organizational ones, or they come from where?
So this is where I sort of raise this idea of emergent values. And emergent values tend to be about expediency. Exactly. And I think the other point to make, and we nearly got there explicitly, but it's recognizing the values do not exist in a vacuum. So actually, we are never far, as an individual in an organization, we are never far from at least a boundary recognition between individual and team and organizational values. I don't think the boundary out towards culture is that big a step either, but it probably in most companies and organizations feels less obvious.
I would suspect you're right on that one.
If you're an international, then you probably have your head around some of that. But if all your business is done in the same county.
Your company may only be doing business in one county, but your staff may come from anywhere on the planet, and they may be working anywhere on the planet, particularly in these days of hybrid working. So, I mean, I can think of plenty of examples where a small company of maybe 30 people in their head office has got about half a dozen different nationalities, maybe more. And then there's another 15 people around the planet in anywhere from east to west and north to south who have got their own cultural values as well. And to be fair, most of the companies I've been involved in that have tread fairly carefully because they've been aware of it, but maybe not carefully enough in some cases.
And so I think for me, that's why I'd like to sort of reinforce again that idea. We talk about the value stack. And you know, if you're in a large or disparate company or organization, that step from individual out to cultural concerns can seem like a huge swathe. But all the threads between each of the four elements of that stack are very short.
Yeah, with you.
Yeah. And so there is that thing, if we're going to have the open and curious conversation as a team that says, okay, who are we as individuals? What do we want to be as a team? How does that sit within that broader context? All the elements of the stack do come into play there. And then the following on thought from that is not just so what do those values look like, but the real challenge, I think, for many of us is, so what does that translate into in terms of behaviours and standards?
Absolutely. It's very easy to say, here are our values, write them down, stick them on a flip chart, and everybody smiles and shakes hands. You then have to live them.
And I think in some cases, there is something to be said for having an explicit conversation around team risk and team opportunity from a values perspective. Because if a team is around long enough, at some point, it's going to be challenged. At some point, it's going to be called out for having got something not quite right. And it's at those moments when you really start to notice, are we living our values or just stating them?
Yeah. I suspect we've all seen that sort of thing happen, particularly with a team that's been around for a good number of years. The opportunity to make error and to drift, shall we say, is much, much greater in an older team. That in itself then brings on another point that occurs to me. If you've got a team that's been around for fair old while, membership of that team is going to change. Yeah. There's going to be some, we all call it churn, not an ideal word, but there we go. So what happens then? Somebody joins, well, obviously somebody leaves the team, or maybe they don't, but somebody joins the team because the team's being expanded. That person, now we've talked before about bringing people into the team and the fact that we need to integrate them, get them up to speed and make them actively part of the team and not just somebody who's sitting around the table. Yes. In this case, we're talking about, well, this person may be new to the organization. We know nothing about them. They know nothing about us. How do we approach that one?
So again, you know, often the best way is the shortest way. You talk, be upfront, be constructive, and recognize that, yes, churn implies a transition. So there's a sense that there must be some risk there, I guess. But equally, it's an opportunity. And particularly for teams that have been around a while, it should be embraced as a really positive opportunity to refresh and rethink.
Yeah, new blood.
Yeah.
Type approach, yeah.
And to engage everyone in that process. Now, of course, part of the value of engaging everyone in that process is it helps embed the newcomer into the team as well. So that's already two wins for one strike.
Yeah. What's the third?
Don't know. We're working on that one. We may get there as we go through this one.
Okay. I'm aware we've already been talking for quite a period of time on just two aspects, the value stack and a little teeny weeny bit on churn. There are a number of other areas that we can look at, one of which might be conflict.
So I think conflict in itself is interesting. It's become something of a, not maybe not a red flag, but certainly an amber flag word. And conflict isn't necessarily a bad thing. It often seems to be that way these days, especially post-COVID. But there is both threat and opportunity in most conflict. It often comes down to how we manage it. But if we think now about those times when there are troubles, so if the team is under pressure, if the team has failed at something, if the team is being criticised fairly or unfairly, it doesn't really matter. There's still that attack on the reputation. All of that pressure, yes, it's on the team, but in the end, that sort of pressure is always felt by the individuals.
Exactly.
And then it becomes a question of, so how do we respond? How do we respond both personally, but also then as a team?
Absolutely. So essentially what we're talking about here is it should be team together versus, if there needs to be a versus anything, versus the world, versus the organization, whoever it happens to be. But the team, the idea here is that the team should pull together as one because they're sharing the same team values.
So I think I'm probably for team together, a little less for team against the world. Though I don't understand that, and that's a very common sort of motif in sports thinking in particular. It's not always the most constructive response. And we've been talking, as you know, in the last couple of weeks about this whole question of relationships across boundaries. And sometimes, as we've said, the shortest answer is to talk. The shortest answer is to collaborate, rather than necessarily go straight into defensive mode. Because if you think about it, we've touched on this at the individual level before, at that basic chemical level under stress, there are all kinds of fight or flight signals kicking around our brains. And it's quite difficult to resist those, but we can do.
Yes, we can. To continue on the thread about talk, and this is outside of values, it's about everything in general. We don't talk and properly communicate with other team members enough. We have a problem with something or someone, we bottle it up, we tell a third person instead of addressing it. So there's something there, but that relates then back to the conflict point that we just talked about, that you said something I fundamentally disagree with. Mm-hmm. It'd be much, much better if I talked about that with you instead. For a lot of people, and probably including me in the past, I will have talked about that with somebody else. Oh, Ian said such and such.
Yeah.
What does that benefit anybody? It doesn't.
And let's be honest, I think boys are probably worse at this, by and large. That tendency to bottle up so that when it finally does erupt, A, it erupts.
Yeah.
And B, it's a much bigger, much more fraught issue. In part, I think we may have lost, and this is where some of the distance promoted by our necessary response to COVID doesn't help. Having those water cooler spaces where it is safe and acceptable to express doubt, or safe and acceptable to raise a challenge. Not in a sort of, you know, gloom, the world's falling in, but it's kind of, I'm feeling uncertain about this because we're not getting the sort of responses from customers we thought, or I'm worried actually we're not going to have all the finance and therefore won't be able to deliver X. That conversation earlier on, much more likely to be addressed and create something positive than that conversation not happening and then the appearing 6 months down the line where, well, it's all gone wrong and we're going to lose half our budget and it's your fault because none of you guys did A, B or C.
Well, that's very true. And you make a very good point around the water cooler or the coffee room or whatever it happens to be in the organisation you're at. That is one of the key bits we've lost, I think.
Values are, even allowing for the stack, values are quite personal. So they are expressions of ourselves. And others' expressions of their values have impact on us. So they are things that need to be nurtured and monitored if they're going to work positively for all of us.
Let's just cover a little bit more on this. I mean, there's a huge amount we could go into.
Well, one thing I'd like to sort of move on to, almost stepping from that conflict point, is back to the flip, which is a question about consensus. So we touched early on this idea of, as a team coming together, explicitly thinking about values, what they mean, how they sit in the stack, how that's going to affect behaviours. There are some interesting details, I think, in that space that are worth thinking about and probably exploring. If we are going to have a conversation where the threads into the organisation and culture matter, there's potentially, depending on what the team's there to do, depending on the size and structure and importance of the team to the organisation, there's something to be said for touching base with HR. Because if those things around inclusion and engagement are going to be part of that value set and part of that discussion, having that more formal organisational input is possibly not a bad thing. If we're going to talk about what the team is, actually, it's a very fundamental question. Is the team going to have a set of values based on consensus or based on compromise?
That's a very good point, isn't it? I would suspect for most times it's based on compromise.
And I would tend to argue that the output is more durable and more productive if it's based on consensus.
Oh, I'd agree with you, absolutely. But wasn't that in that? The point I was trying to get to is it is based on compromise because we need to get a move on.
Yeah.
Can we live with this? Can we cope with this? And everybody goes, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But of course it isn't.
And the thing with compromise becomes a way of as we've just been talking in the conflict space, compromise becomes a way of not having the conversation. So what happens is things can then tend to fester. Whereas consensus often feels, as you say, there's a time pressure. It could often feel uncomfortable, especially if we're people who've not been used to thinking and talking about our values in any sort of open way. That can all feel quite troubling in its own way. But like so many other areas of investment in people, good, well-focused investment up front almost always delivers much better results than crossing your fingers and going, it'll be okay. Now, you may have some evidence to disprove that, but I'm going to stand by that as an assertion for now.
The one thing that this conversation has driven home to me all the way through, it's about talking. And being upfront and being honest. And for many of us, that's quite hard to do. But if we don't do it, then we're going to get into some of the conflict stuff where we won't be operating on a consensus basis. We'll be operating on a compromise. And the point you made is very valid around that lot. The stack won't stack up.
I agree with all that. I think the one thing I might add to that list, And it fades in and out of various conversations we have, is actually remembering to be kind. Because I think particularly in a British culture, maybe in some others knocking around out there, we're not used to thinking and talking explicitly about values. If we're not used to doing that, you know, if I ask you to start speaking, you speak languages like me, so I've got to think of a good one carefully. If I ask you to start speaking Arabic, you're not going to rush off and order lunch happily on your own. You're going to stutter. You're going to make mistakes. Well, the language of values is the same. People will stutter and make mistakes as they learn to accept it and use it and work with it. So we do have to be mindful that when somebody says, well, I'm not really sure, the temptation is to kind of, you know, bang down the coffee cup and go, well, that's terrible. Well, how about this then? Actually, no, we need to recognize that people are finding their way through unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
And so that conversation needs to have that in mind. I think one thing I wanted to go on to touch on a little bit, just in this area, was a more special case around building that consensus. The majority of teams that most people work with are formed or have been formed, because they've been going on for donkey's years, to fulfill a specific purpose within the organization, and that's all fine and dandy, and we all crack on and get on with it. Every so often, and I've been in a number of these teams over the years, that they often carry the label project or program, the team mission is actually disruption.
Yes, I've been involved in a few of those. So, and yeah. Yes, as they've, the word program has definitely been written bold.
That, in the values context, flags up some interesting things to think about. And maybe one of the things that should be challenged explicitly is if the team is there to change the nature of the organization, but the organization doesn't change its values.
That raises a few questions in itself.
Yeah, exactly. So there is an element of thinking, that upfront conversation that we started with around what's the team here for, what do our values look like, how do we fit into the stack, understanding the mission, and so understanding the potential risks and opportunities of the team mission compared with what the organization is about is a really interesting one. Because you will have seen as much as I how often change projects and programs tend to be about process. And that's it. Miraculously and completely unrelatedly, we see pretty consistently for the last 60 years about 70% of change projects and programs fail.
Because they're just about process.
Yeah. So if we are going to make real change, that needs to be about culture. And culture is about behavior as much as mindset. And that puts us right in that space of, so if the mission is disruption, and we're not thinking about what that means for values, if we're not thinking about what that means for the value stack and the space that the organization and its members occupy, we're probably not really addressing change.
That feels to me like a good place to stop on this one, Ian.
Okay.
I know there's plenty more we could talk about, but I think we've hit some of the main bits for now. So is there any last thing you want to bring up?
So I think for me, one of my reflections on a number of decades at work is actually we do need to be more explicit about the values conversation for ourselves, because that is the starting point. We need to be more aware of what that means, what it means for me individually, and therefore what it might mean for me when I go into the world of work or into other social settings. And that's not in some childlike, the world was bent to my will. But it is the start of recognizing that actually values differ between people. If we're going to work with people, understanding those fundamental ideas and principles that drive people become part of understanding how we can connect with them and work with them.
That's a good sentence to end on. Ian, I've really enjoyed today. Been eye-opening in more than one way. Thank you very much.